Hey guys, we're here on The Path and I am super excited. In fact, we are all buzzing over here because we are going to be speaking about the global phenomenon that is The Chosen. We get to go up close and personal with some of my favorite actors on set, and we get to ask them some really beautiful questions about how they prepare for the role, the things that challenge them the most, and some funny moments that you're not going to want to forget. Coming up next, we get to speak with George H. Xanthus, who plays John, and Luke Dimion, who plays Judas. My goodness, what a conversation we had about their approach and method to the role, what they love the most about this retelling of a beautiful historical story, the challenges of playing a role that has so many dark layers to it. And I love what Luke has to say about humanity and dignity when it comes to the role of Judas. Guys, you are going to love this conversation. We get to speak with some of the cast from The Chosen, y'all. Come join me on this trek. It's going to be amazing. Available on all podcast platforms, or you can stream it in Canada, intothecastle.com, watch it across the nation on Yes TV, or you can stream it anywhere in the States on any streaming platforms that are available. I will see you on The Path.
You're listening to On the Path Podcast with Cheryl Nemhart, brought to you by Fight for Freedom. Follow Cheryl Nemhart on all social media platforms.
Darkness is not the absence of light. Is more uncontrollable and sinister. You were there, waiting. Because the darkness is not dark to you. At least, not always. The coming darkness was too deep for us to grasp.
It would appear that we now want the same thing as Pilate.
Senior leaders in every district should question and expose Jesus.
I just can't stop seeing how we could be doing things faster and more efficiently.
You deserve a stipend for your specialized work.
You can at least make sure that you have resources to keep the mission going.
My ledgers are in the red. I told you to make life difficult for the followers of Jesus.
It is on this rock that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
This infernal chaos. Why can no one control these people?
What just happened to all of you? It's about to get worse.
Now that I'm here, physical death does not interrupt our eternal life.
Lazarus! Come out!
I remember you wishing there could be another way. And looking back, I do too.
I still don't know why it has to be this way. The bitter often mingled with the sweet.
You told us it would be like that. With how you lived, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief.
Hey guys, Cheryl Nemhart here on The Path, and I'm so excited to be with two phenomenal actors. And they're kind of, you know, good looking, easy on the eyes too as well. We've got George H. Xanthus in the building, Luke Dimion, I did that to throw them off, playing respectively John and Judas from The Chosen. Welcome, welcome guys.
Hi, good to see you. Threw off indeed.
Oh my God. Threw off indeed. Well, come on. Your fan base, your swelling fan base, isn't just because you guys are dropping all the heat in acting. You guys do actually cut a nice, fine picture, I must say.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
I guess we overcompensate because we're so often like dirtied up and we're in the middle of the desert and we're in our potato sacks. So hashtag potato sack crew, the OG.
I love it. Listen, I would love to know this question, and I know that you've been asked this so many times, so do please forgive me in advance, but how do you prepare for a role like this, which I think is just such a huge historical account? What's your method? What's your, you might have individual sort of like approaches. I'd love to hear both.
I was going to say that I kind of, the way that the show is for me, like obviously, there have been so many depictions of Jesus' life, but I really do feel like, especially given the time that we have, 7 seasons, 8 episodes a season, it feels like an historical period piece. So I approached it as such. I wanted to know about this historical figure of John. I didn't know much about him. I hadn't read, you know, his gospel, and that's something that was super, you know, I'm super grateful for. Not a lot of the other actors do have a book that they can kind of refer to. So you can draw little bits and pieces from that. Really smart guy. I mean, if you kind of put yourself in the historical context of John, he's writing in ancient Greek, which only very, very intelligent people back in 2000 years ago would do. You know, if you could write in that language, it meant that you had some education. So, you know, these little bits of like nuggets of information you can use. And this is what an actor would use, you know, for any role. But the other thing is that you can also point to other points, you know, other points in the Bible, like John is considered, you know, not only, you know, the disciple of love and the beloved disciple, but he's also considered son of thunder. So you can kind of, I'm very lucky that John has got a lot either written about him or there is a lot of reference to him. So I can kind of piece together, like an historian would, you kind of take little nuggets of information. And I did study history and I'm a keen history buff. So I guess that served me very well when researching in the role.
I love that. Thank you for that. Luke, what about you?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty familiar with biblical history from my childhood, but I kind of went about this role the same as I would with any other role. I went into the script, technique, repetition, and I being aware of the things that come ahead, there's only really one major point that everyone kind of focuses on with Judas. So I just focused on the character that was given to me, making that believable, making that real, and focusing on my fellow actors, which kind of gets really easy after you do it for a bit. But yeah, it's really, when it comes down to it, if I had any questions, I would just go to the writers, Tyler Thompson and Ryan Swanson and Dallas, of course, because at the end of the day, it's their show. Like, the biblical reference is just a piece of it. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they're building this character up to the different arcs that they want to take him. So mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that I'm aware of that. I'm building it to where they want it to go and understanding him like a more base character level.
Yeah. So good. I had the chance to meet Taylor and Ryan just a couple of weeks ago and had a great conversation with them here in Toronto, Canada, which is where I'm from here.
Awesome. My family was just in Canada last week.
No way. Seriously. Okay. Let's go.
Just have to say very quickly, Aussies and Canadians, I feel like we understand each other a little more. I mean, yes, I am in the USA right now, but there are things that I kind of say to Americans that Canadians just understand more. So I feel a deep connection to a fellow member of the Commonwealth.
There is a deep connection.
Man, I feel like the odd man out.
And listen, don't feel out.
Just a casual Californian sitting here in my chair, not knowing what a biscuit is, like just trying my best.
That's hilarious. Well, listen, you are loved, deeply loved here in Canada. And this will air right across the nation on television, so it'll be great in North America on both sides. But speaking of Taylor and Ryan and Tyler and Ryan and these incredible layers of storytelling, I want to go back to you, Luke, for a second, because I can't even imagine the complexity of portraying probably the first notorious villain in history, like just most hated. His name symbolic with like name symbolic with betrayal and sabotage, like literally when you call someone a Judas, that's what it means. I'd love to know, and I hope no one's asked you this or close to it, but Luke, how do you bring humanity and dignity on Judas's journey, knowing what we know ultimately about him?
Well, I do the best that I can by just looking at him as he kind of is, which is outside of the hindsight view and just purely as human. Because I always find it really ironic how people see him as this ultimate villain when really all he did was, not to downplay, I mean, betrayal of Jesus is a pretty big deal, but like the one thing he did, he felt so bad for that he immediately committed suicide and he gave the money back. Like he didn't like take it, run off, find a vineyard out in like Naples and be like, well, you mess something up, a new door opens, whatever. But like it stuck with him, and it stuck with him so hard that he ended. Also, I'm pretty sure like Julius Caesar existed like right before him. I'm pretty sure he did some pretty villainous things historically, but it's like a lot more murder, a lot more enslavement, like a lot of bad things. But it's easy to like look at Judas and be like, no, that's the bad guy. That's the guy we're going to like hate easily because he did something bad to someone that we loved. And I think it's very easy to forget that Judas loved Jesus too. And maybe what he did wasn't completely in full betrayal, but in full, maybe in a misunderstanding. And because there's more to a person than just their worst deeds. And I think you can tell that with what the show is portraying. And it's very easy to connect with that, especially in historical context of a character that's just written about in hindsight. There's so much open to him to play with in context of, like you said, like humility or giving him dignity that can exist. And he could still make this tremendously horrible mistake. They coincide. And that's kind of what makes him human to me.
Yeah. And you do such a great job at that. You give us all these beautiful layers that maybe we weren't open to receiving. And now we're just seeing this beautiful side of Judas that, that we're being drawn to, even though, as we said, there's a big error on his part. But humanity, you do that so well. Thank you for that, Luke,
Thank you so much.
To you, you're welcome. To you, George. How do you, what drew you to this project in the beginning? And how do you feel about the way that we're talking about this sort of like creative way, the way that Chosen approaches these biblical characters and kind of stretches our thinking a little bit, takes them out of the box? What are you loving about that?
I think both of the answer to both of those questions is in the way that The Chosen kind of has approached this story. I always say it's called The Chosen and not The Jesus. And it's called that because we are focusing on those who knew Jesus best. We're looking at Jesus's life from the outside looking in. It's not from the inside kind of looking out, although we are really on the inside by being in, you know, in the, you know, the lives and the kind of narrative arcs of all these people who were closest to Jesus. And I think it was that approach that made me know for a fact that when we started, it's actually the first episode. I was actually looking on a shameless plug. I was trying to show my friend, The Chosen here in the United States. They were an Aussie visiting, and I literally could go on any of the streaming services and I could find it. So kudos to us. We are on every single streaming platform. But yeah, and I showed, because Netflix was down, so then I had to put it on Peacock, and it's like, I've got an embarrassment of riches of where to watch The Chosen. But the log line for the first episode is a fisherman down on his luck, can't pay his taxes to the Roman government, you know, decides to betray his own people in an attempt to settle his debt. I'm like, what? Talk about historical period piece drama, you know. I think that's the strength of the show. We're not only getting the wisdom and the teachings of this incredible person, Jesus, but we're also getting a taste of what life was like 2,000 years ago. I don't know if another project has really done that. And whether they've had the opportunity to do it or not, that's probably more the question. We've got 7 seasons to tell this story. And that's for me, that's what makes the show the most rewarding. It's the fact that we get to see this from the eyes of people who were living 2,000 years ago.
Okay, well, beautiful. You gave me two of my questions all together, so I'm going to skip one because that was brilliant. You are brilliant. I knew this. Who's the prankster between the two of you guys? And I'm going to tack on. Who's the prankster? Who's the funny one? And give me a funny behind-the-scenes moment that happened maybe in the past season.
Do we prank? I don't know if we prank. Joke a lot. We do a lot of impressions.
Yes.
To one
we
another.
Do. We have a lot of fun. If you ask me, I'd say I think George is the funnier of the two. I think he's just got like more of like a repertoire. Like I pull stuff out like really obvious, like, yeah, no, he's a Robert De Niro. And he would be like, here's an Australian specific newscaster. Like who's that one guy you do? The one guy who does the nature documentaries?
Oh, Steve Irwin.
No, not Steve Irwin. The other one. The other one.
Oh, right. Nature documentary.
The guy who's like, yes, and this is the stalwart rhino, and he's moving onward in.
I can't remember. By the way, very quickly, prankster on the set, I would say, is Joey. And you guys may have actually seen some of Joey's pranks. He did a little loving kiss to everybody, but he would ask us to smell something on his tunic. He's like, dude, does this smell weird to you? And you'd go in and then he'd just give you a kiss on the cheek. And he got all of us. I didn't see that one coming. I don't know about you.
No, I was the odd man out. I didn't get a kiss, which is ironic considering everything. Mostly because in high school, I was definitely pranked by a lot of my friends. So I saw something coming from a mile away. I thought it was malicious. I thought I was about to be made a fool of, a real dunkaroo. But no, it was just something lovely and I missed out on it. And I should have just trusted my fellow cast.
I feel like that isolation was just part of the method acting of making you feel like you're outside of the gang.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
You know.
That's true. I think that's why everybody kind of like, you know, when we start eating lunch, we just sit separate from me and you guys give me my space. It helps.
Can I very quickly, there's a behind the scenes thing that no one will know because we didn't record it or anything, but we were shooting water at Noah from a little squirt gun, but from meters away. And he kept telling everyone, dude, is there a leak in this, like, we're in like a studio. We're in like one of the sets. And we all started ignoring, going like, Noah, you're trying to like punk us. We know, like, stop pretending that there's water on you. And then like one of us would be like, and we would pass the gun around. And so he wouldn't know where it's coming from. And he was on his own, literally. And by the way, Noah is like the kindest, most laughing soul that you will find on set. It was so interesting to see him with a smile on his face, like, what is happening here? It was hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Well, listen, I've got like about maybe 2 minutes. I am dying to do this speed round with you. I want you to strap in. Here we go. Just shout it out. Okay, guys, cake or pie?
Pie.
Cake.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Tea.
Oh, Nike or Adidas?
Adidas.
Crocs.
And I'm wearing Nike. How is weird? How weird is that?
I just want to say for the record that George said Adidas.
Yes.
I feel like Europeans might say it that way, but I say Adidas.
Adidas.
Okay, superhero films or comedy?
Superhero films.
Luke is my guy right there. And of course, the age-old battle of Ryans. Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Gosling?
Reynolds.
Oh no.
Hands down, Reynolds. I had a dream about him. I had a dream about Ryan Reynolds. I met him in Liverpool talking about Wrexham.
That's hilarious.
Okay. Last night.
Luke, who's your Ryan?
Oh my goodness. Ryan.
Reynolds. I gotta choose Reynolds.
He's going to Reynolds. Okay.
It's just Gosling's so good. If he didn't do Nice Guys, if he didn't do Ken, if he didn't do like so many other things where he was just like so expressive.
I could stay with you guys forever. I'm trying to honor the time. I'm cutting all my questions. We're going to end it here. But listen, this is a bonus. I will not judge you, and neither will my community. I promise. Tupac or Biggie?
Oh, I have to say Tupac.
Luke, you look stressed. You look so stressed. You're like, I need to get this right.
I'm going to get George, so much hate for this.
Tupac, I liked him first, and then I discovered Biggie afterwards.
I'm a Biggie fan. I'm sorry. Notorious B.I. I gotta,
Biggie for you?
I gotta go with Biggie. Like, no, all respect to Tupac, but when Biggie's flow just hits, I'm just like, I'm good to go.
Well, guys, you heard it here. There's a massive unity and nothing but family on the set of Chosen until today, when we have the East Coast versus the West Coast wars between George and Luke going down in history. Tupac versus Biggie. Guys, thank you so much for being on The Path. It's been a joy. I just hope you guys come back again for more questions.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Thank you. Thank you. It was so fun. Thank you.
Well, guys, that was an incredible interview, but it's not over. We had a little bit of fun behind the scenes when I asked them some pretty hilarious questions, and one for the ages that got them stumped and stressed and laughing all at the same time. Take a look. And we're out. That's it.
I want to thank you.
Sorry if we didn't get to questions. Sorry.
We love him. Well, do you guys listen to Tupac and Biggie?
I see. I listen to Biggie more than Tupac, okay, but okay. I know I'm not about to disrespect Pac. It's him. It's the guy.
As I have to say, as a kid listening to Changes, it just changed. It was like it was just a musical masterpiece to me. And I only discovered Biggie afterwards, so I actually like them equal, but I have to give props to the person who kind of opened my eyes a little bit. That Changes song is beautiful.
Could I say Kendrick?
Kendrick, listen, don't get me started with Kendrick Lamar. We have to talk about the Super Bowl because, I mean, that was nuts. The one last year with Dre and anyways. This was awesome. We love you in Canada. Keep doing what you, we're the land of Drake, Drizzy Drake over here.
Champagne poppy, of course.
Right? Okay.
See ya. Thanks. Bye.
Wow. I want to thank George and I want to thank Luke for such a fun interview and being so honest and open and down to earth. Gosh, I wish I could have spent more time with them, but I know that they are super busy on this press tour as they begin the work of promoting season 4 of The Chosen. I hope that you've had a chance to see it. If not, please, please go. It's available in theaters, wherever movies are shown. And guys, I'm so excited about this retelling of the beautiful story of Jesus and the interactions with the disciples. What I love the most is the honest approaches to relationship. The fact that, there were mistakes, there were doubts, there were sins, there were moments where they questioned their own walk. There were times that they wondered, was it all worth it? And that humanity that's being brought to the screen is what I resonate with the most. This journey that we're in is not always shiny and sparkly. There are bumps along the way, and there are times that we wonder, is this walk of faith worth it? Is what we're going through, is it seen and known by Jesus? Does he see me? Does he understand? And what I can tell you for a fact is that he is acquainted with our grief. He knows our sorrow. He walked among us in flesh as human and knows what it means to be downcast, to be hungry, to be sad, to go through all the emotions that we go through. He is connected with our grief in ways that are so, so important. And so I just encourage you to continue this walk of faith, curiosity, wherever you are in this journey, and get to know Jesus on a personal level. down to earth level. He is a friend. He is your brother. He is our teacher, our master, our Lord, our Savior. He's all of these beautiful things in one. And I have to thank the cast of The Chosen and the incredible writers, Tyler, Ryan, and Dallas, for bringing the Gospels to life in such a humane in such a beautiful, authentic way. The power of storytelling here is incredible. It's why we are all gravitating to The Chosen, just to see the interactions with the disciples as they become a family of their own. Yeah, so thanks, guys. I want to encourage you guys, go see them, get to know them, watch it from season one if you haven't. Track with us. You too will fall in love with The Chosen. Until then, guys, keep living, keep learning, keep loving, and I will see you on the path.
Thank you for listening to On the Path podcast with Cheryl Nemhard, brought to you by Fight for Freedom. This has been an Exousia Media production.